When you look into the Bible tells us plainly how much God loved us, how much His Son loves us. And one of the things that we need to look and examine in our lives tonight as a child of God, and that is plainly to know that we are to love souls. We are to love those that are lost in sin. We are to love them and try to bring them back. Tonight, we're going to look in our lesson text in the book of Luke, chapter 15. Read this many times. You probably read this many times. And when we look at these very familiar texts, may you examine them again in your life with your heart, soul, and mind. Tonight, just listen as though you're listening to the first time what Jesus is stating to these folks, what He's saying unto these people that are going to question Him and ask Him, "Hey, why are you over there with those sinners?" Listen to what Jesus says in these passages. "Then drew near unto Him all the publicans, the tax collectors, and sinners, for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, 'This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.'" Jesus, the Son of God, was with sinners. Well, when you look into the Bible tells that man has a sin problem. To help with the sin problem, you got to go to them. And this is what Jesus did. He went to them. My friends, too many times we want to stay in our buildings and not get out to the lost. We got to go out to them and we got to love them. We got to preach the truth in love and be devoted, because that's what Jesus says in His Great Commission. Did He not? In the book of Mark, chapter 15. I read that last night in verses 16. You heard that passage. A lot of times we overlook that verses 15, don't we? Go preach unto them. Go unto them. Go to them. And that's what you and I must do as children of God. Now let's get back to our text. And I want you to listen and see what Jesus said. Jesus says, "And He spake this parable unto them, that the man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Thank you for changing that, brother. I get excited and I forget to flip all those things. I get excited about God's word. But look here with me. This is one of the most beautiful pictures in the Bible. When you find this shepherd, when you find the one that's going to go out and look for that one that's lost, then when he brings it on his shoulders. Now, you're going to back up. Let's back up there and think about this. He's going out for this one. Go out for one sheep. You got 99 that's safe and they okay. They're all right. They're 99. And you're going to go out and look and cause so much trouble and all of this to try to find that one that is lost. Jesus brings this to our mind and our heart to see how important one person that's lost in sin is. Just one person. And we see that we find it stated so eloquently by Jesus Christ. Listen to me, he says, "Doeth not he leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? And then when he finds it, he keeps searching for it, and finds it. You're going to bring it home." My friends, very beautiful, beautiful thing when we see a sinner who's been lost in sin and he comes back home. How do we greet that person? Do we point the finger? "Oh yeah, you made your bed, now you're going to lie in it." Or do we greet it like Jesus says here in His parable? Look at with me in verses 6. "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, 'Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over, how many? Over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Was Jesus throwing off? Was he showing no compassion toward those that are in the safe condition? No. They are safe. They in the safe condition. They are God's people. But my friends, until we, when we realize in our hearts what it means for those to be lost, to reach out in them, until we come to see in our heart, then we're going to realize what matters. Souls matter. And we have to love them and care for them, not their sins, but love and care about them to bring them home. And he goes further. Jesus goes further in these parables and these teachings. He talks about a woman who lost a piece of silver. What does she do? She goes and tears apart the house to look for that piece that was lost. And when she finds it, she's rejoicing and exciting. I didn't really come to understand till I got older what that meant to lose things. I do that on a daily basis. I don't know how many of you do that, but I do that on a daily basis. And I'm rejoicing all the time because I'm losing things all the time. And when you look and it says, look verse 9. Here we go again. Listen, brother. And when he have found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. My friends, if a sinner repenteth, and we snub them, we walk out, don't even speak in them, shame on us. Because Jesus tells us to love them, care for them. You know, sometimes I really wonder if we think down in our hearts, you know, a lot of people get mad at God. They get mad at God. They get mad at us in the congregation. Well, what are we doing? Oh, like I said, we don't love their sin. We don't promote their sin. We want them out of that sin. And the only way is to teach them the way of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can do that. I'm going to share with you, you know, just as you look at this, and we're going to, when you look in the Bible, sin. The Bible says a whole lot about sin. We first read about this in the book of Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, when they sinned. Then we come along and we see the sin that Cain took his own brother's life, murdered his own brother. And we see what sin can do. It can make havoc in our life. I'm here to tell you tonight that be very cautious, because the devil wants us to be in sin, to stay in sin, because he knows if we come out of that sin, then we're going to have the joy to be with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He doesn't want us to have any blessings in Christ. Oh, yeah, don't forget that one that is lost. Yeah, that the devil knows that one is lost. He doesn't want anybody come seeking and searching for him. He wants him to remain lost. You know, when you look in the Bible, in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is through eternal life through Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. When we reach the age of accountability, know right from wrong, then we have to do what? We got to submit unto Jesus Christ and let that sin go away. My friends, I'm here to tell you there's a lot of people tonight. A lot of people in the Malden area, in the Greenville area, in Simpsonville, and all around in Fitzgerald, Georgia, are hanging tight to end sin, and they can't let go. They don't want to let go. I'm here to tell you that the devil will sell you a bill of goods, and he'll make it all look good. And there's a lot of people tonight that are selling out their souls for small things. We have to love people. You know, as a preacher, as an elder, as a deacon, as a member of the body of Christ, if we don't love souls, then there's something wrong with you and I in our hearts. Because Jesus teaches us very plainly that we have to go after that which one is lost. Once again, look at verse 11. We all heard this about the prodigal son, the one that went away. But I want to hopefully open this up to you tonight to look in a way that maybe you haven't thought about in a long time. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divideth unto them his living. One thing that stands out to me when you study that, the father, he gave it to him. He gave it unto him. And notice what he said. And not so many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country. I think about this, you know, most of the time, you know, when someone leaves and goes out like that little lamb, you know, they get out there in that country, they get out there in unfamiliar territory, and the farther we go, the farther we're going to be away from the Heavenly Father. You know, I've seen this personally. We had this in our congregation in Fitzgerald. There was this loving family of five beautiful people made up this family, a dad, a mom, and three children. I could see it as a train coming down a track. And I was praying and I was trying to encourage them and was trying to love them. And they kept getting further and further and further away, distancing themselves. And the mother was the anchor of that family and she was the first one to go. And then guess what happened? The dad kept coming, bringing kids with him. But as time went on and the mother didn't come back, guess what happened? Now not one of them comes at all. I seen them the other week before I was getting ready to come up here, and I seen him at Walmart, and he was trying on some clothes, and I came up and I said, "Hey there, how you doing, man?" And you could just see in his disposition, see in the expressions on his face, that he did not want to talk to me. And as I looked at him, I said, "Hey, we having a bring a friend's neighbor's day." And no sooner I got that out, he changed the subject and was gone. Oh, that's so sad. He got up and did a devotion. He did the invitation. He would lead singing. And he would be the first to shake your hand and to love you. And now they are gone away from the Almighty God. Brethren, Bible says, take heed lest you fall. You know, you see that gradually coming and like that snowball coming down a hill. You see that. What can you do? And I was asking folks, I talked with Don about this. What can we do? But, you know, it's on those folks. If they have to be the one to stand and want to stay, we got to love them. We got to love them, but they got to be willing to love God back. You know, over in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1, set your affections not on things on the earth, but things in heaven. Just like this one family, they set their affections on material things, on sports, and as time went on, they went away. But I'm praying that their heart will be open and that they'll be like this one that was found, like this prodigal son. The Bible tells us that he was down to living with the harlots and down to eat with the pigs. Now, I've heard this all my life. But when you sit down and read this and you let it sink into your mind, oh, what a picture we see of how far sin will take us and the situation that we get ourselves in. We are in this. And once again, you know, folks say, "Well, you made your bed and lie in it." Let me share something with you. It says, I love this passage that Jesus says, and he came to himself. He recognized, realized how far that he had fallen. Hey, my father, servants has got it better than I have it, and look where I am. And then he recognizes, and what changes his heart is, he knows where he's at, what he needs to do, and he comes back home. 1 picture in the Bible that, like I said earlier, that picture about the lamb, but this one touches my heart dearly, is when the young man is, I picture my mind coming over the hill, and his father's there, and he's, you know, the father looks up and sees the top of his head, and he sees him coming, and, oh, my son, he was lost, and now he is found. Just think, brethren, we have folks that repent who come back. And many times folks, well, you know, he won't last. He won't stay. He'll go right back and do it again. It's not our right to judge anybody. God knows our hearts. And we repent to God. Too many times in the church, we want to judge folks and go ahead and put them where we think they ought to be. And we don't have the right to do that. You know, look at this prodigal son. And we see this painted in the picture of this. It's, the attitude is right there, brethren. Remember the son that saw that stayed there, that was faithful? Oh, yeah, he was right in the midst of the party, wasn't he? Ready to accept his brother back. No, he wasn't, was he? When you read that, he was upset. You mean to tell me that, you know, my brother was out with harlots and went away and wasted up everything, and you want to throw him a party? And what did his father say? No, look with me now. Look down at verse 30 in the last part of Luke 15. But as soon as this thy son was come, and which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him a fatted calf, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. In sin we will be lost, but in God's love and grace and mercy that was shown toward us when we come back and repent of our sins, then God forgives us. Let me share something with you. Brethren, too many times, you know, God forgives us. He wipes it away. He puts it away. He never remembers those things again. But we many times want to keep riding that person with that sin and keep want to bring it back to their face and hang it upon their head. We got to let it go and bury it. God does. And we need to learn that in our lives. And notice what he says. He says, my son was dead and now he's lost. You know, are you starting to see what Jesus is trying to get in cross? Oh, yeah, Jesus was out there with those sinners. Jesus wasn't out there participating in the sin, was he? No. He was out there loving them, caring about them, trying to teach them the way to get home. I mentioned this verse, and I got to mention it just every time I try to preach the gospel. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way out of sin is through Jesus Christ. And we have to teach that, and we got to plead that unto this world. My friends, we live in a world that makes light of sin. Now go and do whatever you want to do. Go out and live what you want to do. And it's all right. I'm here to tell you, when I read the Bible, as though the first time when I came into the Lord's church in 1980, and every generation since God has created this world, sin is still sin. You know, a lot of people want to take like they do a pig, you know. A pig will go into the mire and get in the mud and grunt and eat its food. You go out and take that pig. You clean him up. Put some good smelling stuff on him. Put a little pink bow on his head. He gets a half a chance. He's going right back into that mud hole. We have to get out of that mud hole and stay out of the mud of sin and live the rejoiced life for Jesus Christ. You know, as we look at this, as we look at these sheep and the lamb, brethren, I'm here to tell you, we can learn these beautiful pictures. I wanted to show you tonight how important it is to follow the shepherd. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd. I want to look at a few passages of scripture and then we'll bring this lesson to a conclusion. But I want you to look in your heart tonight and just see it's so easy. Bible says, take heed. Take heed. Watch out. Lest you fall. We got to keep watching, watching out for our souls and our hearts. Look with me. Go to the book of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. Look with me now in verses 7. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Notice verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they may have it abundantly. What did Jesus say? When you follow me and live for me, you're going to have an abundant life. In Jesus Christ. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for sins. Back up with me now. Psalms 23. You know the Psalm 23. Most of the world knows Psalm 23, but they don't understand the true meaning that I am the good, I am the shepherd and you shall want not. I am the shepherd. He's the shepherd. He gives us everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We have comfort in Jesus Christ. And notice what happens here. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Did you hear that? And I am known of mine. We know who Christ is, the body of Christ, and he knows us. He recognizes us. Now jump over to verse 27, same chapter, chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Did you hear that? We know the shepherd. We know who the shepherd is, and we follow him. Now take your Bibles and jump over to the book of Matthew with me. Matthew chapter 26. Go to Matthew chapter, let's see, I believe it's chapter 26. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. No, I get it right. Get it right. I got it all messed up here in my head. Matthew chapter 16. Here we go. Matthew chapter 16. Now look with me into these passages very carefully in Matthew chapter 16. I love these passages of scripture. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and do what? And follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now let's listen to verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? Can you imagine having everything that you can imagine in this world? But there's one catch. You know, there's always a catch, aren't they? This one catch says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If we lose our soul, we give up our soul for everything in this world, and I believe the Bible tells me that all that is in this world is going to be burned up. So I can't take none of that with me. I've been storing up that and wanting all these material things all these years, and now when I get ready to leave this world, they're not going to go with me at all. So what is man giving up for his soul? I say they're giving up their soul for little in this world today. My friends, we got to teach them what it means. There is a difference to follow Jesus Christ. He's the creator. All things were made by him and for him. Everything belongs to him. He is the king. He is the Lord of lords. He is the one that we will follow, and we have to pattern ourselves after him. Now, what ends up with the sheep? Well, Jesus brings it out once again very beautifully in the scriptures. What about the sheep? And yes, Jesus is going to throw in something that I've heard most of my life. And that is, I have good friends that call me an old goat. You know, being a lamb, they say he's an old goat. Well, I'll tell you, I don't want to be an old goat on the last day because you see what's going to come to them. Let's turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Now listen to Jesus. Now we're going to listen to this. And just as this judgment scene appears in the Bible, Jesus is going to paint the picture of Judgment Day. And there on Judgment Day is going to be those lambs, going to be those sheep. And he says, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand. But the goats, guess where? They go on the left. They're going to be divided. There's going to be a divided there. And then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. Brother, I'm here to tell you that's what I want to hear. Come ye blessed. You're going to inherit these things. We are joint heirs with Christ, and we're going to receive this blessing to be with him. And notice how he brings this out here. He said, then the king shall say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered and gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee or thirsty or gave thee drink? Or when saw thee a stranger and took thee in naked and clothed thee? And then the king answers and says unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Talking about done it unto Christ. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, this is the goats. This is the one that was divided. They are there on the judgment. You have the lambs and you have the goats. Now listen what happens. Listen what the goats, what is said of them, what Jesus says to them. Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. They're not going to be with God. They're not going to be with Christ. They're not going to receive that blessing. They're going to be departed. Because they had the same opportunity to do as the others did. Look with me. For I was hungered. Guess what you did? You gave me no meat. You didn't give me anything. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison. And you did not even come one time. Then shall they also answer him. They're going to answer back. Lord, when saw thee hungered or thirst or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Jesus says once again, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. How we treat one another is how we are treating Jesus Christ. A lot of times we hear in the Church of Christ, you know, we have folks say, well, I love Jesus Christ, and they'll turn right around and treat their brother and sister in Christ horribly. That's not what the Bible teaches. Bible teaches I must be unified with Christ. If I'm unified with Christ, then I'm going to love you as my brother and sister in Christ. And I'm going to do everything I can to make your life better. Jesus teaches us that, doesn't he? Yes, that day's coming. That judgment day's coming. When we're going to stand before, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us are going to stand there. We're going to give an account of our life. God, listen to me, brethren. God knows us up close and personal. Like we said last night, He looks down into our hearts. And He knows who we are. Now we can come in and shake a hand, you know, and speak to folks. But God knows if we are really and truly loving Him with all our being. I love the way the Bible pictures. I love the way the Bible pictures about a lamb. You know, lambs is considered a dumb animal. Reason why they are considered, because they have to be led. A lamb will get out and get in trouble. The sheep, they will get out in trouble. They don't defend themselves. They'll get in trouble. They'd be devoured by the wolves and enemies that come in. The shepherd's duty is to watch over them, to take care of them, to love them. Brethren, to know that Jesus Christ loves you. And one thing I know in my studies and studying the Bible, that God does not want anyone to be lost, but we have to accept and honor His wishes to do His will. Jesus plainly says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We got to love and keep His commandments. Can't be a Christian out of one side and out of the other side, we're talking something else. Over here, yeah, oh yeah, good Christian. Over here, oh no. We can't do that. It's all got to be one mind. We got to be in one heart, unified together in the body of Jesus Christ. There are many of you here tonight, so many of you that I know, and I have loved for many, many, many years. Standing before you, many of you know me when I was just a young little dude coming in to try to preach the gospel. Now I'm an old dude, still trying to preach the gospel, and one thing I've learned in the years that I have been with the Lord wants that one to come home unto Him. Brethren, if we're sitting on our hands and we're just sitting in the pews, that's not going to cut it with the Almighty God. He wants to go out into the highways and the hedges and to proclaim His Son and tell them the only way they can go to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And they have to. I don't care what is announced. I don't care what the world says. It still remains the same. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. Brethren, they may come up with all kind of ways. Jump off a house and jump down, hold your hand up and say, I accept the Lord. The Bible says that you have to repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Not just praying some kind of prayer. It's opening up our heart. Hearing, believing, repenting. Repenting means to change and to go away. I tell ye, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish, Jesus says. Luke 13:3. And then when you look over in the book of Acts, Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, at the time of this ignorance, now God commands all men everywhere to repent. To do what? To repent. And then in Matthew 10:31-32 tells us plainly, we must make that confession. Romans 10:9-10 tells us with the mouth, we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then when you turn to that beautiful text in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, why tarest thou? What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That hasn't changed. God hasn't sent no new inspired chapter. There's nothing new going to come. We have it right here. Got to accept it. Got to believe it. Brethren, on the day of judgment, one thing that I long for is that all of you see me walk in and hear God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And in my heart, I want to see all of you walk in and God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. To know Lord, to know Jesus, is to know everything. I'd rather walk 100 miles than ride in the Cadillac with the devil. I don't want no part of him. I don't want to, you know, the Bible says he's not going to be there in heaven. He's aggravated me and tried to get me for 59 years to go away from God. And I sure don't want to spend eternity with him. And I pray that you don't either. So tonight, if you are here and you're in a lost condition, or think about this. You know, a lot of times, you know, sometimes we don't consider us being lost, but just sitting, doing nothing, lukewarm, just going through the motions. You know, that's wrong too. We need to be zealous. We need to be excited about the glory of God, and we need to shout it to the mountaintops what Christ can do for everyone that will come unto him and surrender. Love the Lord tonight, brethren. I pray your heart's ready. I pray your soul's ready. If it's not, if you are in sin, you need to get out of that sin. If you haven't been zealous, you need to rededicate your life for the cause of Christ. God gave everything for you and everything. He gave his only begotten son. And then many times we complain, we murmur, we fuss that we don't have this, we don't have that. And there was Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sin. We have to realize God gave it all for you and I. If it hadn't been for Jesus Christ, you and I would still be lost. We would still be lost. Tonight, who are you following? Who are you serving? I appreciate this good body of Christ here, and I appreciate all of you bodies of Christ. Down in Fitzgerald, Georgia, it's up to 30 miles till you get the next congregation in many occasions. I don't get to see a lot of preachers. I do on several occasions, but it's not like here. There's not a lot of churches gathered together like you guys have. Be blessed to what you have. Be thankful for what you have, because I'm here to tell you, will you get mad at me or not, if it wasn't for the Lord, you wouldn't have anything. He gives you everything that you have. So tonight, brethren, Jesus is calling. He's tenderly calling for that lost sheep, that lost lamb. He's calling. He's pleading. Won't you come? If I never see you again past the night, I hope I see you. I will see you on Judgment Day, but I will hope to see you in heaven. Oh, just think about all those who've gone to the reward. I can't wait to see all of those folks. My grandmother, she never knew I became a part of the church, and I love that lady dearly, and I can't wait to see her again. I know there's people in your life you can't wait to see again, but the only way you're going to see them again or to be with them is to be faithful as they were faithful to the day you die. With every breath and ounce of being in your body, live and serve the Almighty God. Take this lesson to heart. We love you. And if we can help you in any way, please let us know. Let us stand. Let us sing.